You want to safeguard your health, maximize your immune system, grow muscle, and lose fat faster? Grover Immune is not herbs and spices. It's not a proprietary blend. It's patented. It's a one-of-a-kind product. It's backed by science from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Grover is a protein antibody. It's different. It's real science and gets real results. Check us out at Grover.com.
Old School Bodybuilding Clothing Company. If you're the hardest training person at your gym, you are old school. If you hate math, but you can count by 45s, you are old school. OSBBC.com for the hardest training athletes.
When you are asleep, they're just getting started. John Romano, Dave Palumbo, After Hours.
Welcome back to After Hours. I'm, of course, Dave Palumbo here with my compatriot in crime, John Romano. And what's hanging on over there in South Carolina?
You are lucky that you didn't have this show yet planned for yesterday because I was half dead with food poisoning.
Oh, really? How'd that happen? What'd you eat? Oh, my.
Honk.
Oh, no.
Really? Where'd you find that?
Oddly, at, you know, it's Publix. So, you know, they never have it. And I'm like, wow, they got conch. I'm going to make some, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And
what is that called? Is that scongeli?
No, scongeli's same family, but it's different. Scongeli's way better. But
what's the Italian name for conch?
There isn't.
It's that big shell. You know that big shell?
No, I know what it is, but I thought they had a name for it, the Italians. No?
Greg? Scongeli's like that, but it's different.
But it's called Don't Eat This.
But anyway, I for 22 hours, I was like dying. And now I still haven't eaten yet. But
John, you know what's funny? I can hear it in your voice.
What?
I can hear it. You sound a little bit raspy, a little bit like, you know.
Adam, I was dying yesterday, bro.
From pooping his brains out for 2 days.
Were you vomiting?
That's the thing. I have this condition where I can't vomit. My throat literally snaps shut when it starts, and that snap and shut feels like somebody's ripping my fucking esophagus. It's the most painful thing that can tell you. So when I feel like that coming on, I gotta like push it down and swallow. Oh man, it's fucking horrible. And then of course, if I would just puke, it would get out of me. But instead, I gotta wait till it travels all the way through my intestines, and you know, it fucking hurts, man. So it was 22 hours of just fucking hell.
I'm trying to think of who that Indian woman in your background, that picture on the wall looks like, John. It looks like someone we know.
Who?
The Indian woman behind you.
Oh, I don't know. Some African artist my wife made friends with.
Who does that look like, Greg?
I can't really tell. I got to see Jenny Blackman.
in one of her outfits.
Yeah, it might be.
You know the story about when Blackman came home one night and Jenny had her boyfriend in the bedroom tied up and handcuffed and she was whipping him?
I like her. She's a good – I liked her.
Oh, I loved her, man. I kept her in Vegas an extra day one time during the Olympia and she was hanging out with – my whole crew party and everything. She was a blast.
No, I think it was cool what she was doing. I just think that if Blackman seeing her, that was what I was laughing at.
That was the thing. What she was doing was out of sight. But the fact that Blackman walked in and started.
No,
I
know
him though.
That.
He probably walked. He's like, where's the vitamin C? I'm looking for the vitamin C. Like ignoring anything that's going on around him, right?
I wouldn't mind being tied up by her. She was
cute. Don't tell me. That would have been fun, right?
So, yeah, you know, I found out, my cousin, one of my cousins told me that my favorite uncle, my cousin's father, who's no longer with us, my Uncle Frankie, who happened to have been on that show, That's Incredible, twice, back in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
He made sculptures out of the sand, like, you know, he made like a Jaws, he made a King Kong, and like, it was so big and so realistic, they had helicopters going over, it looked like it was a real, something on the beach, got beached, you know, got washed up on the beach. Anyway, I found out that he actually had a child with like one of his coworkers. Like he was a hair stylist. He owned hair salons, And I found I have a new cousin. And ironically, the new cousin is moving like 10 minutes from where I am here. So I have a new first cousin I never knew I had who's like 48 years old, you know.
Oh, wow.
Which side of the family? Your mother or father's
father,
side?
Father, Italian side, yeah.
Ah, good.
Oh, so it's a Palumbo then.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, technically a Palumbo, but obviously she's been remarried. But so I just think it's kind of weird, you know, when you find that. I'm just, you know, everyone finds their lost relatives on Ancestry, you know, because the, you know, if you've been adopted or you don't know your father, a lot of times you'll upload your you'll get your DNA tested, send it to Ancestry, and they can find matches for you. You know, I'm always petrified that someone's going to contact me and say, I'm your brother, you know, and I find out like my dad. You
know, no, worse, I'm your son.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, that's, yeah, that could be worse. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But
there's Palumbo's here in the Jersey Shore. They got Palumbo's plumbing.
That's more of a John Romano. You got another daughter. Tyler, me? I need a battery. The battery's going
to
go.
But no, I meant to tell you, Dave, I talked to my aunt a couple months ago, yeah, and she said that her cousin is a Palumbo.
Oh, we knew we were related.
That makes sense. Because, yeah, I said, well, where? What, you know what? She goes, this is Palermo, she's telling me.
Yeah, that's around the same area. It's got to be related. Yep. I knew we were related somehow.
Had too many coincidences.
Too many coincidences. You should upload your stuff to Ancestry. Maybe we're brothers.
Well, now that I know that, I am.
Imagine like, John uploads his stuff and it comes back. I get a match. I'm like looking at this. I'm like, who's this match? I got, you got a brother, John Romano. I'm like, what? That makes sense. It all makes sense
that,
now.
That makes sense. Right.
He's your twin, actually, you know. Anyway, I sent you, I don't know, Greg, did you watch the video I sent you?
When?
Oh, my God. I emailed you. You say you like emails. I emailed you a link to a Generation Iron video about...
Yeah, but if it wasn't of some guy getting fucked in the ass with a zebra...
That's true, yeah.
Wait, when did you send it? Today?
No, I sent it a couple days ago to give you some time to watch it. But I'll play the clip. It's Generation Iron. I did a little interview with Steve Weinberger, George Farah and Kai Greene. It probably was old, you know, older, and they ran it. It's basically Steve Weinberg, who's obviously the head judge at the Olympia, talking about, you know, how they judge and what they pick. And George, Farah, and Kai are asking questions, you know, and saying, you know, questioning things and placings. It was pretty good.
It was more like Weinberger and George were ganging up on Kai.
Yeah, Kai. Let's play that. We'll play a couple of little timestamps so you guys can watch it, and then we'll talk about it. Because I want to see what you think about. You know, some people say judging is politics. Some people politics, as Kai would say. Some people think it's, you know, it's legitimately judged. Some people think that, you know, and Steve has a good explanation as to, you know, basically, you know, we judge what's up there on that particular day. So let's play the first clip.
Yeah, but his explanation is flawed.
All right, we'll talk about pineapple. It. Let's play
Steve
this.
Like pineapple.
We don't care about who looked good yesterday or who's going to look good tomorrow. It's who looked good that day at that time. Somebody could say, oh, my God, you should have seen him yesterday. Yesterday he looked great. Well, you know what? You're on stage now. We're judging you now. And this is what you look like, and this is how you're going to get placed.
I mean, there could be a guy that doesn't have the best conditioning but has the best shape, but because he wasn't in best conditioning, he's not going to win. A guy with the best conditioning will win. It depends on what is in front of me that day. You can't say because Phil Heath beat Kai Greene, that Kai Greene's not going to come back next year and beat him. It depends what happens on that stage. Not yesterday, not last year, not with, you know, their projection of what they're going to be like. It's what they're like right then and there.
Any questions come to mind, George?
Not really. It's hard to judge, you know, like a lot of times, and I hate this. I've seen it many times. People see stuff in the pictures. Oh man, Sean Ray, you should have beat, you know, Dorian. No, dude, I was there. I seen what Dorian did to him.
There are pictures where other people are going to look better than other people. That guy in fifth place maybe has the best back double bicep, and he looks like the...
All right, so that's the first clip.
The winner with the back double bicep. But what about all the other...
So basically what Steve is saying is that, you know, he has to judge what's there on that particular day. And I agree, because you know what? We see pictures on Instagram now all the time, You would swear the guy's going to win the show, and then you see him up on stage, and it's not the same effect. Or, you know, there's something that he loses a little something, or one guy comes back better at night than he was at the pre-judging. So you know, it's very easy to criticize from looking at pictures and videos online. And unfortunately, in COVID, we really, no one can even go see these shows anymore. We have to kind of trust the judge's opinion. Now, do they get it wrong sometimes? Absolutely. But what do you think about what Steve said, John?
Tyler's making me dizzy over here.
I'm trying to find you guys. I lost you.
Luckily, no one else sees all the finagling.
But so and the thing with the pictures is where I have the issue.
Okay.
Okay. Weinberger's like us. He's a dinosaur. Okay. He knows what a black and white TV looks like. All right. So to say Sergio Arnold and you're looking at the pictures, you're looking at the pictures of the technology that was available right then. Today, we have 4K, high definition, super definite. We have all of this technology. You can take pictures of competitor A and competitor B and put them next to each other on your computer screen, pose for pose for pose, and you can dissect them down to the pore size of their skin because the pictures are that sharp. So you can't tell me that today you can't put up a picture of each athlete, pose for pose for pose for pose, the entire show and their posing routine, where you can stop it along the way and you can pick this apart infinitum.
I don't agree because it's bodybuilding is about comparing two physiques next to each other.
I'm saying compare them one on one.
But you can't take one and superimpose it next to the other.
You can't do that. You could get a short guy, put him next to a tall guy, and actually adjust the photo where they look like they're the same height. You can't go by pictures, though. You cannot. I've been backstage, I've seen guys where they look great. And then I see pictures of them on the internet, and they don't look so good. You know what I mean?
I disagree. I say you can put competitor A next to competitor B right on your screen in super high def 4K, whatever technology we have, and you can see everything.
It's not that, it's the presentation, how they present.
The better part of that is that when the judge is sitting there and we're in front of them, they only see him at the moment in split second timing. This way you can stop, you can see every detail.
The instant replay, John, is what you're saying.
Weinberger's right, though. Weinberger's right. He's right. Because you could look, there are guys who you could see a picture of them, and in that pose, they look phenomenal. You understand what I'm saying?
Statically,
I'm saying pose for pose.
You can't compare static pictures. It's not a static sport.
I agree.
You can do it in video then. You can have the two videos playing side by side.
It's how they look next to each other, though, that's important.
You see them next to each other on the screen.
You don't go to shows. What do you know?
Let
me give you an example. Flex Wheeler was a master at distracting people from his weaknesses and bringing eyes to his strengths. And 100%. That's why he was so dominant on stage.
And also because he had the best physique in the world.
Yeah, but there were shows where he wasn't at his best, but you know what? You would have sworn he was at his best because you couldn't take your eyes off the guy, and you almost didn't look at the other guy. And look, it's an illusion.
No, he's right.
Stage presence, though.
He'll take your eye off of, you won't even look at the other guys because you're like, look at fucking Flex. I know what Dave's saying, and he's right. And it's kind of, Weinberger's is right too. There are some guys who, if you look at photos of them, you say, fuck, man, he should have won. But that's only because the poses and the photos that you
Greg,
see.
I hear, what I'm saying is you can have the video.
Technology-wise, okay?
Wait, of the two guys next to each other, or the comparison, you can have the video. You can stop it. You press the space bar, and you stop it. And you can look.
This is what you want. You want to have an instant replay. So the Olympia gets judged. The guys go upstage. Then the judges sit down, and the coach, Hani Rambat, says, I want an instant replay on Phil Heath. And so the judge's got to take another look at Phil Heath on the little video monitor.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I'm commenting to Weinberger's statement that you can't tell anything by photos. And I disagree with that because of the technology we have today that makes these images so sharp that it's better than being there.
But what I'm saying to you, even though I'm making a mockery of it, Don't you?
I'm not making a mockery.
No, listen. I'm making a mockery purposely. I'm showing the how I'm saying it over and above and over the top purposely, because the judges judge what their eyes see at that very moment. So if they're bamboozled by the people on stage because they have great presentation, if they're, you know, if the flash of how the person, you know, presents themselves is drawing their eyes to that person and not the other person, that's what got it. That's what made them say first place for that guy. If you go back and look at the videos and pictures, they might even realize, hey, we made a mistake, because you know what? But that's what judging is about. It's about what their first impression is when they see that on stage, what the bodybuilder made them feel, you know?
Yes, you're right. That's what the show is about. How many times have you seen a picture of a guy? We'll use Big Ramy. Before the Olympia, a couple of days before, you go, oh, my God, did you see? Bro, he's no fat. He looks great. He's shredded. He's so in. He's right on target. Dry hard. All of a sudden, you see him on stage, and you're like, dude, that's it. A couple of days ago, I saw pictures of him a couple of days ago. He looked amazing. But now you see him up against the other guys, and now you see him right there. And even though he's so big, he's not like what you said about the Flex Wheeler thing. I feel like the stage presence of another guy is taking over.
Right.
There's, 'cause bodybuilding, that's what bodybuilding's about. That's why Arnold used to win. What did Arnold used to say? Sometimes he knew guys were better than him.
Yeah.
But he would get out there and he would just hit nothing but double biceps. He would hit that pose that was his signature, and he would just keep going like that. You know, remember the story about him with the background of Sergio Oliva? He said we should use a dark background, you know, so Sergio Oliva would blend more in with the
right,
background.
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, that's a fact, but it's different things like that. Arnold was a master at stage presence. I remember Lee Haney telling me if I was Tom Platz, he goes, I would get up there and do nothing but leg poses, because that would freak the judges out. That would freak out the audience. And he believes that he would actually score higher because the attention would be on him.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
I agree with that for last century. But now the technology is so good.
I think you're talking about something else. I agree with you in the sense that I know what you're saying, John. You're saying that the technology is so good that you can actually see the fucking blood flowing through the guy's body. I know what you're saying.
Side by side.
But you can't use that.
Let me give you a good example.
You can't use that to judge.
When Phil beat Kai at that last Olympia, or one of the Olympias, Phil was really off at the pre-judging, and it almost looked like he was probably losing it after pre-judging, and then he came back better at night. Okay, if you weren't at that show, you probably wouldn't have caught the nuances of how good Phil looked at the finals versus the pre-judging. If you saw the pictures, you would swear Kai Greene won the show. I mean, Kai's bigger, he's freakier, he's got great conditioning, his presentation is really good. But in person at that finals, Phil was, you know, he was reigning Mr. He was freaky looking. But
he definitely got better for the night.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah. I mean, it really didn't translate well into pictures. In pictures, Kai looks way better because Kai's he's a cartoon, you know.
I totally agree with that. But there have been instances where you don't need a replay.
Yeah.
Okay. The year Jay beat Victor Martinez. Is a good one. I'll give you Steve Weinberger's favorite, the 1991 Miss Olympia.
Right. Best should have won, yeah.
So you can't tell me that the judges are, I'm judging what's right in front of me right then and there. And Weinberger himself knows that's bullshit because he went through it with his wife in 1991. So
yeah, but so, I think that was really, you know, a Joe Weider thing.
It absolutely was.
Yeah, that wasn't. But Steve wasn't judging then. That was a different judging panel that was ruled over by Joe Weider, who made the call.
Yes, but you cannot say that the lineage of IFBB judging is based on what you're seeing in front of you that day.
Oh, hell no.
All of us can knock off. Nasser should have beat Dorian. Lavroni should have beat him. There's definitely a year or two Sean Ray should have won. So you cannot convince me that it's all about what the judges see in front of him that day, because there's too many instances throughout history where that just doesn't, cannot tell that.
On this note, let's segue to the next, play the next clip where Kai actually lays it out for you. Here we go. Watch the clip. Right.
When people walk away, a lot of times I've heard them say, hey man,
politics. The judges. It's rigged. What?
You know, I always said that, Kai. You know what I mean? When your friend and family, they're going to start telling you the truth, then we don't have politics and, you know, and whatnot. As a coach, and I'm telling you this, and I'm, you know, everybody know me, I'm not a kiss ass, you know? Like I say it even on here. You know, when we went to Spain, you beat Phil Heath, hands down. But I understand why we couldn't take Phil Heath from being Mr. Olympia, a week later take him off the throne. It doesn't look good.
Now, I disagree with that. I think if you beat him, you should beat him. See that? I don't agree with that.
But we saw it. You
but
see how the
plenty
people
of times you and I had arguments after the show.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, there's a lot of times George and I disagree.
So are you saying that there's an optical illusion? That
it's not an optical illusion. You just, in living color, you
different.
Cannot
see somebody lies.
See it the same way you could see it on the internet.
Yeah,
it's impossible.
Not gonna happen.
So what do you think about that? Do you think they make a valid statement there? First of all, George is the biggest kiss ass of all time, which is that's why I was laughing. But I still love him. But that was a funny statement. I love Kai. It's like, politics. What do you think about politics?
I love George. George is a great guy in person. George is great. Anybody knows George, I love George.
I like to break. We break each other's balls, but I do like George a lot. Anyway,
My God, he's got a lineage of bustable history. That's freaking amazing.
Now, obviously we know there has been politics throughout, you know, history, and I don't blame the judges for that. I blame the people who might have been behind the scenes, and I think Joe Weida for many years pulled a lot of strings, you know, here and there. Not a lot, but, you know, we saw a couple of controversial decisions over the years, you know.
91 Miss Olympia.
Yeah.
But I disagree with Weinberger there because in living color, Greg has sent the high def pictures of various women's assholes in such a stunning degree that you can count all the lines, and that's what you know it, Greg. I mean, the amount of technology we have at our disposal today for viewing things in high definition is out of sight. And for Weinberger to say in living color, you can't make that. And I disagree. I think it's the opposite. I think on video, it looks better than it looks in person because and you have the added ability to stop. And you can stop that video at any given point and you can spend 2 hours.
Right, but that's not how a judge judges, though, John. They're not going to have that much time to look.
Obviously, you can't do an instant replay. I agree with you. But to settle these arguments over who looked better, who should have won, it's a hands-down guarantee that the judges can make mistakes. And
but wait a minute.
This ability proves it, is all I'm saying.
I think what you're talking about is something different. I understand it, yes. You can see every pore in their skin, the blood going through the body. I agree with that. But can you use that to be a judge? Because you know what's funny? Looking at pictures, you can't see the flaws as much as you can.
That's not the point.
But I think that's what Dave's talking about, right, Dave, or no?
I think you see the flaws more the way John is talking about. I don't think the judges quite see as much
fine detail about the structure.
But that's not how a show is judged. The show is judged by a live audience, a live judging panel that is an emotional. They're not robots, in other words. So they're emotional beings that are moved by how people perform on stage, how they present their physique, what they're bringing to the
stage. Wait a minute. That's like comparing one of these dolls that you get, a sex doll that you have in your house that looks so fucking good. It's got the
sex doll.
I don't have a sex doll in my house. Jimmy might.
Give me the bowl.
Maybe you get. Greg's
Jimmy
got a sex doll in his house. That's how come he knows about that shit.
No, it's pseudo. But you can't compare a sex doll with like a real girl. You're missing the point.
A sex doll.
Yeah, you're right. You can't compare them. The sex doll don't fucking argue with you.
No, but I'm saying.
You can't take it in the ass, baby. Okay, no problem. You know.
No, but I'm saying like you can't just go by the video. You have to be there in person. Like Dave said it before with this Flex Wheeler thing was a perfect example. I've seen guys backstage where they look phenomenal. And then on stage, the guy who looked back in backstage, I see a couple guys, right? Maybe this one guy looks great. Like Dennis Wolfe used to look great to me. But then when I'd see him on stage, he didn't fucking look as good as the other guy. You know, guys, he looked better than backstage.
All right, let me,
it's the whole stage presence that.
Let's clarify something. I think the judging, especially in the new era, the last 10, 15 years since, Mannion has taken over full force and Weinberger has been the head judge. I think they get it right 99% of the time. But there's the 1-2% times where things are questionable. And when I say questionable, it means that, like, if Mr. Olympia is competing and he's a little off, they throw him a bone. If, we're at a show and maybe there's, like, something, a reason why they may want to get a guy into the Olympia and he has to qualify, they may throw him a bone if it's close. And that's just human nature, because I think that there is an aspect of the sport of which we call marketability. So we want our champions to win. We want certain people in the Olympia, okay, for marketing purposes. I think there's a fudge factor every once in a while where we see decisions we don't agree with.
Video instead of judging? Would you think judges should use video now? Do you think that they should actually use video?
They review. Hey, gymnastics, they go back and review. They can appeal. They can appeal.
But that's by performance. That's
a problem. Right. Use it if they're
But Dave, what you just said is what Weinberger is adamantly denying.
Well, he has to. He's a judge. I mean, come on. But like I said, when he's judging and they're on 100, they're on most of the time. To have a judging, in my mind at least, to have a judging. Have judges get it right 98% of the time. That's pretty damn good.
I don't want them to take this the wrong way. I think, and I agree with you, since Weinberger has been in his position now, the judging has been almost inarguable at all ever. It's always right on, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
However, for that 1-2% of the time where it's not. Obviously,
yeah.
Why can't they just say, instead of they're judging what's in front of them that day, why can't they say, and in the guise of judging what they're judging, what's in front of them that day, sometimes a guy makes a mistake. We're human, you know?
Well, you got to remember, too, if you have a decision, okay, where five judges think this guy wins and four judges think the other guy wins, okay, and we don't agree with the final decision, and maybe neither do any of the fans at home. There still were four judges up there that thought the other guy should have won, Right. So it's not like everyone is on in the conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy where everyone's in on it. Some people like one thing, some people like this. Look, some people like want Trump, some people want Biden. It doesn't, it is what it is. There's no right answer. When you're judging, if I'm a judge, sometimes you have a relationship. You might know Phil Heath. You might say, hey, he's my buddy, man. This guy's a good guy. He did enough to win, as far as I'm concerned. I'm voting for Phil Heath, even though maybe Kai Greene looked better that day. I don't know.
So then remove yourself. If you really know someone like that well,
they all know him. Everyone knows everyone, George. You know that. It's a small industry.
We all know each other. Right. We all know.
That's what's so hard to judge.
Yeah.
I judge once. If another person, it's like you automatically gravitate to want to, extra for you, kid.
If you're voting for a bikini girl, you're gonna vote for the girl that you think you like the best. You're attracted to.
I like brunettes, so so if it's all brunettes, that's why she has just have gay guys. Have gay guys vote for the girls.
Yeah. Here's a question though: Should you be able to appeal a decision now with all the technology John pointed out that we have? The ability to do an instant replay in like 3 seconds, you can play it back, the live stream. Should you be able to say, you know what, we want to appeal this decision? And I mean, obviously, probably never change anything in a million years, but.
No.
Or even better yet, and I'll throw this other one at, how about have another round of judging where they actually go back and judge the video?
No.
Like a confirmation of judging round,
No, you take it away, The sport is the way it is.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I don't believe it. You can't go instant replay. What are you going to say? No, wait. Let's go back to the instant replay. Kai Greene.
Why did they do that? Well, Greg, why did they do that in football?
Yeah.
But it's different. That's performance. There's no performance.
No, it's not. It's whether or not the ball got where they measure for the first down. Everything.
Are you going to go back and say, wait a minute, Kai Greene had more striations in his thighs than Philly. Let's
look at his glutes. He's got more glutes. Instant replay. I want to challenge the call.
I think it does two things.
Go ahead.
One is it definitely validates the argument against it, because you can have two varying opinions and the video can prove it. Yes, it's too late. They're not going to take it away from them again. But what it does is it humanizes the judges and says, sometimes these guys fuck up. And what Weinberger says, they're judging what they see at that moment, that day in front of them.
I agree with him, though.
It has a flaw in it, is all I'm saying. But a flaw,
how, though? They're all those guys are in the pretty much close to the same condition. Okay, one guy's a little more dry.
I'll give you an example, Greg. Let's say a guy loses 5-4, okay?
Right.
And now, because it's so close, someone appeals the decision. They go back, they look at the video, all the judges, and if they all agree, hey, you know what, I'm sticking with my decision, great, but maybe one of these guys or two of these people will say, you know what, I didn't quite see it right. I'm going to change my decision. And it gives the ability for them to say, you know what, I made a mistake, you know.
You can't do that. You can't.
Why?
You can't
Why?
Go back and, but you can't go back and call like.
No, at the show. I'm talking about at the show.
Greg, it's the same day.
But wait a minute. No, but what I'm saying is you can't go back and the umpire misses he calls it a strike, but it's a little bit off the fucking black, which is really a ball in baseball. You can't go back and say, you know what, that was a strike. That was strike three.
They do that all the time.
No, they don't. You can't argue balls and strikes. I don't believe that you could. Okay, Kai Greene had more striations in his thighs.
Right, but what about if the guy swung, can they go back and review whether he actually came, you know, went through?
No. No, they don't review that. An umpire can ask another umpire his opinion. First base umpire, did he go around? Yes, he went around. Okay. But they can't go to the videotape on that. They go
what
to
about
the
in football? The judges, the refs are on the sidelines watching the video, right on a football game.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. What are you actually reviewing? It's still, are you saying he wasn't hard enough? This guy was, let's go to the video. What are you arguing, though?
Comparing them. The same thing you do on stage. You say round one comparisons.
One more look.
Two guys standing next to you.
I don't see it, man. Listen to me. Who's better artist, Picasso or fucking Michelangelo? Me, Michelangelo's way better than Picasso. Picasso looked like he did a fucking kid's painting and shit like that. But there are people who would say Picasso's better. What I'm saying is bodybuilding is a matter of opinion. We've seen guys over the years, I mean, that were phenomenal. If you put fucking, like Frank Zane in his prime against fucking Marcus Rule, Frank Zane would fucking beat him every time because of what we use as a criteria for bodybuilding. But realistically, Marcus Rule hasn't beat every body part, hardness, everything. What I'm saying to you is you can't just do that. You can't go back. What are you reviewing, though? Okay, listen, I'm a judge, and I say, you know, and I say to you, okay, what do you want to go back to the videotape? What do you want to review? I thought that Kai Greene had more striations in his thighs than Phil Heath. But Phil Heath's overall condition was better. His structure, what he did at that moment, what Phil Heath did, this is what fucking Weinberger's trying to say. And if Weinberger's watches, he'll agree with me. At that moment, when they were doing the double bicep, or whenever they were, you know, when they were doing the poses, it was something there that maybe Phil Heath had at that moment over Kai Greene. You could go body part for body part, but you can't judge on that. You're judging on basically how he executed the poses. The whole ball of wax.
You're right, Greg.
That's what Weinberger's trying to say.
And what you're saying is you can't see that on a video?
I don't think you could go back and listen to me. But what do you want to review? Who's harder?
All right, I'm going to throw this at you. First of all, Greg, you're 100% right. It's an impression. It's an impression that people
make on
the judges.
That's what Weinberger's trying to say.
But what I'm John and I are saying is, what if you had a fourth round, whatever you want to call it, whatever number round, we add another round where the judges each have a little monitor they're looking in, and they see the entire comparisons, and they get to look at it from a different perspective, watching it on video. Looking at the perspective, and then they have the ability to either agree with their decision or actually change their decision.
No, you're wrong.
This is before the final results are submitted.
No, listen to me though. In baseball, it's if the or football, whatever it is, it's like, okay, a ball was hit. He called it a foul ball, but really it hit the white, so it's fair. Do you understand? Or he, you know, he, the guy beat the other guy to first base, but they called him out. So we review that.
No, what I'm saying is you're giving the judge.
What are you reviewing in
Bobby? You're giving the judges an ability to get a second look, so to speak, to make sure that their decision that they initially saw was right.
But are you giving him?
Greg, what are they looking at? What are they looking at the night show? What are they looking at the comparisons? It's the same thing. If you're having a question in your mind as you're a judge and you're saying, Phil Heath, Kai Greene, Phil Heath, Kai Greene, I can't make up my fucking mind.
I want to see
look
again.
At this video. You know? And you look at the video. Now you can see side chest, front double bicep,
back
spread. You can go pose for pose for pose, and you can watch exactly what you saw.
You can watch it 25 times if you want. Right.
Yeah, but I just don't see you taking out. Listen to me. In sports, when you get – I understand because you get it wrong in baseball. It was called a foul ball, but it was really fair. He was really safe at first. Okay, he was called out, but he was really safe. Okay, same thing with football. He made it over the line. It's actually a first down. Whatever. But the difference is in bodybuilding. What are you actually going
Greg,
to? Greg,
I keep telling you. You compare. You're watching the same thing that you saw. So you're getting comparisons. What do I want to see? I'm the judge. I can't decide between who had a better front double bicep, Kai or Phil. Now I can see it on the video in front of me. I can stop the video. I can count these striations. I can count those striations. Now, yeah, I'm going to change my mind. I think now that I've seen it again, I think that my first impression was off, and I think I'm going to give it to Kai.
I understand that, but you're still, it's the criteria of what are you looking? You're actually going to go back and look at who looks better in a double bicep.
What did you look at the first time?
I just feel that you can't do that in bodybuilding.
Why? Why?
Because it's not based on performance on stage. I mean, the performance is
what
yes.
If you weren't paying attention? What if you had a bad day? You maybe really didn't take a good look and you forgot what you really saw. Maybe you wanted a second look is what John's saying.
I don't know. I don't know if you should do that, though. I just don't see the difference.
No one would know anyway. It would be behind the scenes. It would be done.
But I agree with Weinberger, though. I do. I understand what he's saying.
Oh, I do, too. I've been to shows, and I've seen people say so-and-so should have won, and I was like, no way. I was there, man. Big difference when you're there.
Absolutely. I agree with you, but sometimes a lot of that shit's politics. I don't even want to get into
that. You know what? Weinberger has got a tough job in that position. It's a very difficult in a subjective sport like this. I mean, you get a lot of enemies, okay? So he's got a very tough job. What I'm looking at is how could you apply modern technology to make that job a little less difficult and a little less problematic in the long run? And if you can have an option as a judge, you can have an option, say, I'm having a really hard time deciding who's in first and who's in second. It's that close. I need a better look. I need a second look.
Right.
I want to see them again.
Yes.
Now, you get a chance to do that.
Well, what they should do, John, I think, is at the judging panel, yeah, and obviously you can't do this at all the shows, but for the Olympia, Arnold, you have a little monitor. You're able to actually, right then and there, replay and watch it yourself. So even before you make your decision, you can kind of go back and review it and say, okay, you know what? This is what I'm going.
Especially if it's close.
Right.
You know what they do, though? They all look at each other and say, what do you think?
Because no one knows because it's too fast sometimes.
No, they don't. They got a thing up between them.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying is a lot of times, Greg, it's because they weren't paying attention or they turned away for a second. This gives them the option to go back and actually, because every single one of those judges knows how to judge. Okay, but sometimes it happens very quickly or they weren't really paying attention or maybe they just got distracted by something. And this gives them the ability to go back and really take a good look so that when they make their decision, they're making a really informed, accurate decision.
And it mitigates the argument after the fact.
Right.
It makes it very difficult to say so-and-so should have won when the Weinberger can say, you know what, it was really close, but we had the ability to go back and check. All the judges, had a second chance to view them again. We hit it in person. We did it on video. We did it at the night show. And after all of that, it's the way it is. This guy won hands down. You're going to have to accept it.
Right.
First of all, is this even up for debate with the IPB? Are they actually thinking about doing this or no?
Who knows? We're just throwing it out there. It's the ideas we put out there that may get incorporated, you know?
We're giving them a great answer. And she's like, she's already like, dude, you can argue all you want. We're not doing that. I'm not getting breast implants. So we're like fucking pissing in a fan.
Greg, 10 years ago, I said there should be a classic physique division. They told me that would never happen. And never happen. 10 years later, we got it. All right. So
we
got to put
done
the ideas out there. And
that's bringing
it
more
might
money
take a while
the
for
sport.
Them to get incorporated.
That's Greg. Bringing more money into the sport. If that's different from doing video shit or not, you know what I'm saying?
How do you know that
technology. They said until Trump had that USFL, they didn't have instant replay, right? Isn't that when they started doing it? When he did that USFL league years ago?
I believe so.
He had the cameras. He had the cameras that went along on the wire and followed the players.
I thought they did instant replay too.
That's what he developed. He actually developed that.
He developed.
I thought they did instant replay too, Mr. G.
Oh, they always. Well, they had instant replay, but I mean that's
no, they didn't.
Developed.
No, they never had that in the NFL. They incorporated it after I think Trump.
They didn't use it on the sidelines like they do now. They use it right on the sidelines.
No, I know, but John, you remember? I think Trump had the ability started that whole thing with the instant replay, and then the NFL adopted it when the USFL went out. You know,
I believe so, and one of our listeners is going to correct us on that. So, but I mean, look, at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I think that anything and everything possible should be considered to give these guys the best shot, the best look, the best shake, because getting to the Olympia is fucking hell. And for you to get there and realize that you missed the placing because the judge was looking at a bikini girl when he should have been looking at you, and he didn't have a chance to make up his mind or whatever.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question now. Now, do you go how far do you go with this replay? Do you go who placed fifth? Look at fifth.
Top five, Greg. Top five. That's it.
Top five. Whatever you have a problem with.
Let me give you another example. I'm going to give you another example. Okay? LaToya Watts, when she first hit the scene in figure, I think it was her first pro show in Tampa. I mean, she was hands down the best there. She was so much better than everyone else that was there. And you know what? They put her like fourth. And I talking to a judge afterwards, I'm not going to mention who it is, and I said, how did you put her fourth? He's like, well, she looks so much different than everyone. She looks so much better because she was so, I mean, she looks so much different because she was so much better than everyone. But I think it was a shock to them. If they would have had the ability to go back and look and really analyze and say, wait a minute, she's so good. We have to give this to her. You know, I think it would have given them a second chance to maybe absorb it and allow it to kind of get it. Because the next show she did, she cleaned up because everyone realized, hey, we made a mistake here, you know?
Right. I agree.
I don't know. Sometimes they gave that decision because the other girls and, you know, a little politics. That's what I believe. I'm like, you're never going to take the politics.
But Greg, there's not supposed to be. That's the whole point of this
argument.
I know
that, but you're never going to take that out. You're never going to.
The whole point of this argument is that there's no politics, and you gotta decide what politics actually means in the scope of this. What happens at the end of the day is were politics to be used in this situation.
Right.
The end result is the person who should have won did not, and that's the issue. Now, if you can take that away and you can create an air of man, this is flawed.
You're not going to override politics. If they have their decision, if they have it in their mind, look, Joe Matarazzo over there, he's been talking shit about the IPB, whatever. He's going to, I mean, dude, he's not going to place in the top five.
All right, forget that example.
You can review all you want.
You know what? I totally disagree with that. And the reason I do is because of my wife. And my wife turned pro. She turned pro in 2 weeks. She went shot right to the top. And the whole time I was in Miami at the Nationals, I was worried about, are they going to fuck her over because of me? And at that point, I was at the height of my discontent with me at that moment.
True, that's true. Yeah.
And I thought for sure that was going to happen. I even told Mel Chancy the whole thing. And he goes, nah, they're not going to do that. And they didn't. I mean.
Because I don't really, I like all those guys. I love Weinberg and all. They're good guys. I don't think that they're that bad. If you were on stage, I might have been like, fuck you.
Yeah, but you know what, Greg? I think back in the day when Weider was controlling everything, there was a lot more politics involved because it was all about marketability with the magazines. Now there's no marketability. 100%. There's no magazines. No one cares. If they can get this down to where it's almost always right, every decision, so accurately because they're getting the ability to review things like this.
But wait a minute.
Then what's going to happen is the sport will be that much more accepted by the fans and it will be that much more popular.
All right, devil's advocate. What do you do? You're talking about just the Olympia? We're going to do this in a Buckeye Barbell Classic.
Well, you start, look, Greg, you start at the top. You start at the Olympia and the Arnold, and then the technology now is so available that you can start trickling it down to the bigger pro shows, the nationals possibly. It has to start at the top first.
What are you looking,
Greg,
what
are Greg.
You looking it's like
for,
when they come out with a brand new car that has a new technology. Like I love that technology, like the blind spot indicator in the car. You ever see that? You get too close. Someone comes to your blind spot. It blinks. It blinks the mirror. Now, that was only for the very high-end cars it started with. Now I got it in my Honda minivan has it, you know?
I still throw a rock out the window. It's my technology.
So you scared Jimmy with all this body.
You still have to have a criteria. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what you're going back to replay looking at. I still don't understand.
I don't know how you don't understand that. It's simple as hell. You look at the guy you have a question about. If you think competitor number 56 should be over number competitor 57, and it's between first or second, you can't make up your mind. You look. You go back and look. You right. look at what you already
happy
saw.
Birthday, John. You're 59 now?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay.
29. Thank you.
All right, well, Jimmy, but let's change. Tyler doesn't want to hear any more bodybuilding talk. He wants to hear you rant. What's going on? Jimmy's sending me videos of Pilgrim State Mental Asylum. I don't know why he's doing that. Is there some kind of like a subliminal message there? You want to go to the mental hospital?
Well, I didn't want to. You know, I'm a very polite guy in my old age. I didn't want to interrupt the argument. You guys had a good argument going there, so I kind of laid back a little bit. You know, out of respect, because I'm Italian, and that's what we do.
So in other words, you're having a good day.
Yeah.
No, I'm not having a fucking good day. Okay, so
what's the matter?
I'm not having. I'm heading back to the yard now because my fucking bed don't call, but I got a load of asphalt in the back. So what happened was I got asphalt. I'm this morning. I'm going to the fucking job. I'm inside the complex of the fucking Pilgrim State, right? You know, half it's active, half it ain't. You know, and there's only B Street, G Street, A E Street, I Street, only. So the guy's telling me, go down E Street, make a left on H Street, go around building 26, the fucking N Street. I'm like, okay. By the time I got in there, I'm like, where the fuck did he say to go? I'm fucking driving all over the place trying to call somebody. All this stuff, this woman jumps out in front of me with her hands in the air. I thought she was with the asphalt crew. So I stop, you know, and she comes over to my driver's door. And I got Ralphie following me, the other guy. He's lost too. He's following me. We got two lost assholes. So the lady goes, she comes to my door, and I go, is everything all right, ma'am? She goes, they want me to die. They want to kill me. They want to die. They want me to kill myself. I said, well, take it easy, ma'am. Hope.
He's at Pilgrim State Mental Institution.
Now there's some clickbait for Instagram right there.
Yeah,
can I see the replay on that? Can I see that replay on Jimmy?
Yeah.
The woman must have jumped in his truck.
He's at Pilgrim State Mental Hospital Institution there. My grandfather built that thing probably 70 years ago. And ironically enough, it looks like it's all run down. It looks terrible. He was sending me videos from there. It's almost depressing. I don't know why they let the thing run down so much. What did your dad work out there, John?
He was at Creedmoor.
Oh, Creedmoor. Okay.
Yeah.
Why do they name all these mental institutes these creepy names like Creedmoor and
you know what was weird about Creedmoor is that it was on the grounds of what was the old Winchester rifle.
Nice.
And then now they got a mental institution.
I don't believe you. I want to see a replay.
That's easy.
I'm just kidding.
Where did Jimmy go? We lost him completely?
I don't know. He's probably cursing right now.
He calls me up after every show telling me, you didn't want to have me on the show. I said, you always call from these terrible connections. What do you want me to do for you?
He doesn't even, he's still talking. He doesn't even know
He doesn't even know that he's not even going. What's going on, Mr. G? We haven't got any cookies in the mail. What's going on?
Got them. They're coming. I just made them right here.
I never get to see any of them.
He shows us the bag every week, and we don't get anything in the mail, though.
I got the whole package here. You guys are all getting Jumbo, the new Jumbo Loaf Sugar.
I'm still way back 2 months ago with the white chocolate peanut butter cups.
What I want to know is, what is he doing all day? He's obviously not baking cookies all day, John.
No, he's not.
Are you falling behind in your orders, George?
He's thinking of ways how to get around sending us our free cookies.
I do about seven orders. I fulfill about seven orders a day, which is about 250 actual cookies a day that we have to ship out.
You're not cooking enough. You got to cook more.
Well, I got you. I mean, your recipe on the low sugar one.
<here. laughs> Anyway.
Oh, there he is.
He was cut off. None.
John, let me just finish, guy, because I got to vet to somebody, because I got nobody to fucking vet.
You know you were cut off, right?
Listen.
Wait.
Yeah,
you know
I did. Yeah, I know. I told the woman to go fucking get the truck behind me. I know. I told her. I know.
We never heard the story, Jimmy. Oh, light went out.
We don't know where you left off, Jimmy.
Dickie, you just lost him again. Hey, can we talk about Jennifer Blackman tying up guys again? I like that.
Do we lose him again?
I like her. She's nice.
She was a great girl. Yeah. I out of all of the Blackmans, I miss her. Her and the mom, Elise.
I like them all. All of them. Yeah.
But I just hate getting stabbed in the back by somebody that used to call me his brother. You know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind being tied up, stabbed in the back a few times.
I could do without the stabbing part, Greg.
I think I should have a new show with Steve. What do you think? Supplement Talk with Steve Blackman.
Yeah, bring him up. Bring him on the show with us.
No, really? Not with you guys. No, I want to do a supplement talk with him every week.
Listen,
somebody asked me, are you on TRT or no?
Who?
You, Dave.
No, not for 5 years.
Why not, though? Why? If
I have a good testosterone level. I'm up at 500. I feel good.
Mine's 120.
I feel good. Oh, he's back.
Go, Jimmy. Go.
Story.
Are you guys there?
Oh, yeah, you tell the story already.
Let me tell you something. This internet shit in the truck is fucking a real pain in the ass, man.
Well, pull
over.
I get
spots. I get a good spot. I got a bad. It's the story of my fucking life. That's what it. I went to go out to eat with my family the other night. I go to on the border. They always want to go to a shit place.
Oh, Jimmy.
You know what? I bet you we're getting great content here. Tyler's got to put these together where Jimmy starts ranting and he stops.
And then
do the next one, and then do the next
one. Every week he calls me after the show and he's crying to me about how, you don't love me, you cut me off. I'm like, Jimmy, can you please go someplace where there's actually internet when you do the show for 20 freaking minutes?
Hey, why can't he stop?
I don't know. I told him to do that yesterday when he called me.
Just stop for 20 fucking minutes, Jimmy.
Exactly.
Nobody's Jimmy. That's Jimmy's Jimmy.
Jimmy don't stop.
He stops to get a hot dog. Let him. When he stops to get his hot dog, you do the show.
Have you ever seen Jimmy stand still ever?
No.
No, never.
He ain't going to stop. I got to work. You're not working.
I got to keep going.
I got to be done with my
hot dog.
I used to go over his house back in the 90s. I used to go over his house because he worked for Metrics at the time. This is before I worked for them, and he would give me the boxes of the Metrics packets because he never used them. So I'd come over there and I'd get those, and I'd hang out with him for a couple, an hour or two, and he'd be in the house, and he was this is when he was digging out the basement. He had his ex-wife. I don't know if it was his wife yet. He was living in her house. She had this tiny little house, and he decided he was going to double the size of it by digging out the basement. So he did it himself.
I remember that.
So I'd go over there and hang out with him. And she had these Persian cats, which I love cats, And he hated these cats. And these cats, he would throw the... I would have to yell at him. He would literally throw the cats across the room. He hated them. And he was digging this basement out, and the cats would be in the basement while he's digging out. I'm like, Jimmy, what are you doing? Why are you digging this basement out? We need more room here. So he finally finishes the whole house, and it was... I mean, it was what he did to this house was like what John does to John's house. Amazing, Amazing. Work. It looked like he basically doubled the size of the house. And then he got kicked out right after he finished it. I said, Jimmy, what happened?
She wanted to kick him out sooner, but she waited
until he finished the house. Yeah.
piece of shit.
You imagine, and the cats were very happy about it when they got kicked out.
Jimmy ate all the protein and all that stuff because he never really ate right. What he would be like?
No, he ate hot dogs. George used to give me the protein.
I know he would have been twice as strong.
He not only was strong, he was muscular and lean too.
I know, he's a freak.
But he could barely move. Remember, he was like stiff as a board. Yeah. He had so much. Remember when he had that little rat tail in the back?
And yeah.
He couldn't put it in himself. He had to have somebody else do it.
Didn't they have to take a chisel and chisel his elbows so that he could move them?
He was so stiff. You ever see him on a cell phone? He's like this.
Dude, do you know what the best stories are? Did he ever tell you the stories about when Rita, his girlfriend, used to steal his steroids?
He always tells me.
I'd have a whole bottle of Adderall. The bitch would take the whole bottle.
They actually moved the nerve in his arm because his elbows became so, like, calcified that the nerve was trapped there. So they actually relocated the nerve someplace else, you know?
Wow.
I remember the surgery, and it worked. It worked. They were shocked. Right. And his strength was just as good.
Wow.
So
I've seen him do the most insane lifts.
I spotted him, bro. 600 pounds fucking reverse bench. On stage I spotted him and I told him, dude, if you don't get this, I'm fucked. I can't lift that off you. But he's like, don't worry about it. And he's over there doing reps and shit. Reverse bench. 600 pounds.
The greatest Jimmy the Bull story, though, not the greatest, but one of the really good ones is I've told the story before. We were at the Metrex booth. I think it was 96 and or 97. And they had a contest, beat the bull. Who could do the most curls with 225 on the bar, which I didn't even try it. And I was 315 pounds at the time. And so everyone the whole day got to go. And then you came back and then, you know, you'd have to, Jimmy was the last one to go. But before Jimmy went, Ronnie Coleman was working at the Metrex booth at the time. He was no one. He hadn't really even won a pro show yet. But you know, he still had those like 23 inch arms, you know. And Ronnie's like, yeah, man, can I give that a try? And everyone's like, Ronnie, all right, whatever, you know. No one knew how strong Ronnie was. Ronnie did like 75 reps with 225. Strict form. Not like, you know, Jimmy's reps were like, Ronnie was like full range, you know, motion, like perfect reps. He's like, man, this is easy.
Oh, yeah.
He won. He beat no one. No one else beat Jimmy, but Ronnie beat Jimmy. Actually, I think Frank Zeppi might actually beat Jimmy too. But Ronnie was unbelievable. That's how I knew right then and there. I said, holy, we're looking at something really special in the future, man.
Oh, yeah.
You saw him doing it.
He had strength and he had the size to go with it. That's what was so amazing, you know?
I'll tell you who would have given him a run. Tazzy Colum. You remember Tazzy?
Yeah, Tazzy. He's a very good friend of mine.
It's extravagant. And they'd be curling that. And everybody be counting. You know what I'm saying?
That was the coolest show. Remember they had to hold the battery out here like this?
The women's extravaganza, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a cool thing. Why did they get rid of that? That was awesome.
Well, everyone died. You know, all the people who ran the show died.
Well, it was Bob Bonham's show.
Kenny and Bob ran it together.
Kenny.
You know what it is? They couldn't get the sponsorship anymore for it. I think that's what it was. It was expensive. Oh, no, Women's Physique World were the ones who sponsored that whole thing.
Yeah.
They sponsored it, but Bob ran it with Kenny Castle.
Right, but what happened was when the magazine stopped being important anymore because of the internet, they weren't making as much money. Those Women's Physique guys were making a fortune selling videos and stuff like that.
So what happened to Winterstrom?
Wennerstrom just was the editor-in-chief of the magazine. He didn't own the magazine.
Yeah, no. It's Bill Jentz.
Bill Jentz owned it, yeah.
Bill Jentz is the guy with women.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill Jentz was – Wennerstrom was just one of
– He was the editor-in-chief.
One of his guys there.
Right. Jentz alive?
Wennerstrom
is still alive.
Wennerstrom will live to 120. Are you kidding me? He's got longevity.
Yeah, I see Bill.
I don't know why they don't bring some of that shit back. That was fucking amazing.
I'll tell you why the women, the strength stuff was so popular, watching the women, aside from the schmoes who like to watch it. It's because the women would actually lay it on the line. If you ever did a strength competition like that with guys, no one would do it. Because they're all like, oh, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to practice it. You know, no one wants to be involved. But you can get the top women and tell them, hey, we're going to have this strength competition where you're going to have to do this and lift that and squat for reps. You'll get everyone participating in it.
Oh, they used to do it all the time. They'd be fucking up there doing pull-ups, squats, you know, fucking curls. The whole crowd would be counting 31, 32, you know what I'm saying?
Remember Hogan? I always think that holding a car battery out in front of them on the clock, that was freaking nuts.
The squatting one was crazy too. You know,
I worked backstage at every one of those shows because Bob Bonner, you know, yeah. I was Bob's best friend, so I was always, you know, it was great.
They were fun to watch. They really were.
I loved them.
They would sell that place out too.
Oh, you better believe it.
He did it at, like, he would do it at those, women, they would do it at fancy hotels too, right? Like the Hilton and stuff like
yep.
that.
Yep.
They made it like a real, like an event. Like it was like,
dude,
a,
I 1 year, I forgot what, the year Debbie Dobbins died. I was there. Right. She died like a month or so later, you know, when she went up at Tommy Marinello's house. But what happened was, we were there and Bob had me watch the door on the inside of where all the girls were changing. They were walking on stark naked in front of me. It was crazy.
And we know how much you hated that, yeah.
Yeah, you hated every minute of
it. Oh, dude, I was sitting there like, oh my, like that, like in Revenge of the Nerds.
Like a pervert. Like
yeah.
Hey, Dave, that used to be Bros versus Pros.
Well, that's where I got the idea for George. Yeah,
remember Tazzy? You had Tazzy up here in Farmingdale.
Yeah, a lot of times. I had a lot of the girls up here.
A big crowd. You do that again.
What's Bob Bonham doing now, Greg?
I just talked to him Saturday.
He's retired.
You know, he's down in Florida. He's retired pretty much, you know.
Bob's in his 70s, right?
No, he's there. He's 69 now.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
69, fuck.
10 years
you know, you start
old,
thinking like,
God
that's
bless
old,
him. Still alive. 60.
What happened to his gym, Greg?
Sold.
Believe it or not, it's still there. It's right now. It's in limbo because he was selling it. A guy's supposed to take it, and then he didn't kind of fuck Bob over a little bit, you know?
I heard a good friend of ours might buy that gym, Greg. You know what I'm talking about?
Is his name Paul?
No.
I know this guy Paul's the guy he's supposed to be buying.
There's another guy that I know that you know, too. I'll tell you after the show's over. I don't know
Greg,
if he wants
to. Greg, does he own the property? He must own.
No, he does not own the property. That's part of the problem is that there's a big problem with all that shit, you know. But it's a standard shit. Happened with me when I sold
the gym's
Michael.
Open, George. The problem is that they want to make condos.
A lot of guys
there.
Don't want to fucking pay. Guys get the gym and then they don't want to fucking pay every month. And you know, then you're like, oh, I got to take it back now because you're not fucking paying.
Look, after having been in the gym business, I can tell you that unless you own the building, forget about it.
Yeah, I agree. It's no good.
Well, that's the McDonald's. That's the McDonald's business model. You have to own the land, right?
Right. Of course. Right. Well, the McDonald's was not in the hamburger business. It was in the real estate business.
Yeah.
They proved that. But a gym, when you got, because you need so much space. When you got that rent bill, you know, every month, it's like $10,000, $15,000, $25,000. I know some guys are paid $50,000 a month.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge nut to
crack. Buy a building.
Your mortgage would be a tenth of that.
Yes, you're right. You got to own the building. Yeah.
The square footage is brutal today, especially here in New York, man. Forget about it.
Yeah.
I think the gym business is gonna go by the wayside.
It already is. This COVID shit. Everybody's putting gyms in their house.
There'll be a reemergence of gyms again after this because people like to leave the house and get it the freak out of the house. Once this COVID thing passes over, people are gonna want to go and train it in someone else's gym. It's great to have a gym in your house when you can't go anyplace else, but it's nice when you have the ability to go to a nice, clean, new gym. Or if you want to go to a hardcore, you know, hole in the wall, whatever you want, it's nice to be able to go there and have the energy of the gym. I think that'll never be replaced.
Absolutely. It's not the same.
Human beings, other people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. George, you're right, man. You're 100% right.
All these great gyms, it was all the people that worked out there. That's why you went. There was a camaraderie. Nobody wore headphones and anything like that. Yeah, everyone talked to each other.
Right, right.
Dude, when you're in your house, you go like, fuck, 5 minutes. I'll go down. Then your phone call comes. Before you know it, it's hours later. You still haven't gone down there
right.
in the basement to start training. It's not the same.
True.
No.
Well,
I agree. I love jumping on my motorcycle and riding to the gym. It's nothing like that. Working out. You get to park right in front of the front door. It's the best way to go.
Well, we're getting to that point again. I'm sorry, Jimmy the Bull. You got cut off again. You'll have to vent next week. Find a good connection next time. That's the best advice I can give you.
Stop the freaking truck for 20 minutes.
Also, anyone watching, if they want to sign up this Saturday, Secrets to Becoming a Diet Guru course, I'll be holding that from 9 to 6 p.m., 9 in the morning to 6 p.m., all day Saturday. It's online. You can sign up at DavePaloma.com, and I think you guys will really enjoy it. Don't wait too long. Make sure you sign up before the end of the week. Also, what else is going on? What do we have coming up this week? There's a show this weekend. Not the Chicago Pro. That's the week
after. The Buckeye Barbell Classic. I don't know.
Oh, the Alicante, Spain show is this coming week. Big Ramy will be on stage. Do you guys think Big Ramy's going to have a shot at the Olympia this year?
No.
Okay. John?
I think he looks great, but until he gets on stage, and then you see that behind, when he turns around, hamstrings, MIA, calves don't match the thighs. You got giant.
Wake up there, Tyler.
You know, huh?
It's all right. I'm yelling at Tyler. So
the back is not thick. You know what I mean? It's wide. It doesn't have the density.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I say he's going to pull an upset.
Okay.
Now, he needs a freaking cookie.
John?
Yeah, I've been waiting for months. I don't get any cookies.
No, I mean, what do you think about Big Ramy? I don't care about your cookies.
I thought we were talking about cookies.
I'm talking about Big Ramy.
Here's the thing with Big Ramy. Okay? Big Ramy has everything he needs to be Mr. Olympia. I think more so than any other competitor out there, except for maybe Hani Schupan. But Big Ramy's problem is, I don't know who the hell he's listening to at the end, because he always gets to the 5 yard line and it falls apart. I don't understand why. He's absolutely the best guy up there.
No, what? I think it's, you know, when you go through 10 coaches, it's got to be you. It can't be the coaches, you know, at that point.
Right. So why does he do that? I mean, it's 5 years now.
It's called, you have the heart of a champion. You know, sometimes people panic, you know, at the end.
You don't think he does, really?
Some people can't deliver on the biggest stage. They only can deliver when there's less pressure on them, you know?
I don't know why he can't pull. I mean, he's like 5% away. He's so close.
As Rich Piano would say, it's all about 5%. You know, which 5% are you in? That's the problem, you know?
Yeah.
All right, on that note, guys, we're going to wrap things up. I'm Dave Palumbo for John Romano, Greg Valentino, Mr. G, Jimmy the Bull, wherever he may be, and our producer, Tyler Shore. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Don't forget to go to MrPossProtein.net and buy your jumbo lights. And you guys are all getting samples.
You're too late. Yeah.